The Old Testament reading for Holy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter, beginning at verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man, and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful, and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Our sermon title today is The Sacrament of the New Covenant. Our text is what was just read, Matthew 26, 17 to 30. That is the Gospel lesson for Maundy Thursday. On this evening, all Christians around the world celebrate Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. It begins a three-day period known in the early church as Triduum, concluding with Easter morning. As far as we know, it is the oldest festival of the Christian church year, along with the festival of Pentecost, dating back to the 4th century AD. The Triduum was a replacement for the Jewish festival of Passover, while Pentecost was a replacement for the Jewish festival of the same name. This evening, it is appropriate for us to recount and remember the events of Maundy Thursday, to discern the meaning of the Lord's Supper, and to remind ourselves of the benefits we receive when we partake of Jesus' body and his blood in his sacrament. When Jesus told his disciples to find a room for the feast, he was talking about the festival of unleavened bread. This was a seven-day festival from the 15th to the 21st of the month of Nisan on the Jewish calendar. The Jews prepared for the feast by removing all yeast and leavened bread from their homes on the 13th day of Nisan. On the 14th day, the Passover lambs were brought to the temple, ritually slaughtered, and then brought back home to be roasted in preparation for the evening meal. At sunset, the 15th day of Nisan and the Passover began. The family gathered to eat the Passover meal together in one room. In the case of Jesus and his disciples, since their families were away in Galilee, they celebrated the meal together as a pilgrim group. Before eating, the Jews washed their hands, which we see Jesus doing for the disciples in our gospel lesson today. Then the wine was blessed by the head of the family. Jesus did this, it's reported in Luke 22:17, when he talked about the cup and the fruit of the vine. The family then began to eat the most special meal of the year, not unlike our Thanksgiving dinners in some ways. The food included the roast lamb sacrificed the previous day, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and wine. During the Passover meal, Jesus announced that one of the disciples would betray him to their to the chief priests. The apostles were shocked, and they recoiled in horror. This is the famous scene depicted in Leonardo da Vinci's mural, known as the Last Supper. Jesus told them it was the man whose hand was in the sauce pot with his. Judas then excused himself for a bathroom break and came back later with soldiers to arrest Jesus. After the Passover meal was done, Jesus took the unleavened bread that was left over, blessed the bread, broke it into a piece for each one of them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Then in the same way, Jesus took the wine that was left over, blessed it, and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." After the institution of his supper, Jesus taught his disciples many things, and offered up prayers to his Father, as we see recorded in John chapter 14 to 17. After the last prayer, Jesus and the disciples thanked the owner of the upper room, wished them a blessed Passover, and went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where they planned to sleep for the night. On that night, Jesus told his disciples to always repeat his supper with bread and wine in remembrance of him. The disciples in the Christian church have done this faithfully, so that the Lord's Supper is one of the distinctive marks of the church all around the world and down through 2,000 years of history. But what does it mean? Jesus himself explained what his supper is. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." What is a covenant? Although it had origins in social contracts between kings and subjects, for the Jews, the covenant was something else. The Jewish covenant was the religious constitution that detailed the various rights, privileges, obligations, duties, commands, and regulations concerning the relationship between God and his people, the Israelites. The Jewish covenant is called the Torah by the Jews today, and it can be found in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Old Covenant was issued by God through his servant Moses, and it remained in effect until the death of Jesus. The Old Covenant became null and void when the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees rejected the Son of David that God had promised them. Because they rejected Jesus, the Jews lost their priesthood, their kingdom, their temple, their land, their privileges, and even their laws. The Jewish people were soon scattered to the four corners of the globe, where they still live today and celebrate the outmoded Passover. The New Covenant was issued by God through his Son Jesus, and is still in effect today. The sacrifice for sins offered daily by the Jewish high priest from the blood and carcass of lambs has been replaced by the sacrifice for sins offered once for all by Jesus with his own blood and his own carcass on the cross. The old priesthood of Aaron and his sons has been replaced by the new priesthood, Jesus as our high priest, and all baptized believers as members of the priesthood of all believers in Christ. This is why you participate in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Through baptism with water, you are ritually washed, consecrated, and made holy for service to God, just as the priests were ritually washed, consecrated, and made holy for service to God by their washing with water. For example, Exodus 40:12-15. Through the Lord's Supper, you eat of the sacrificed Lamb of God, just as the priests daily ate their portions of the lambs sacrificed at the temple. Through baptism and the Lord's Supper, all Christians are truly God's priests. What do God's priests do under the new covenant? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter says that you offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And these are chiefly your prayers of thanks and supplication in worship. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says that you declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. And these are chiefly your prayers of praise and adoration in worship. Your priesthood as Christians is thus chiefly expressed in corporate worship and private prayer, which are the Christians' temple service. As priests, Peter also urges you to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. What benefits do you receive from the Lord's Supper? In Matthew 26:28, Jesus says that His blood was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. As the Small Catechism explains, the forgiveness of your sins is the chief benefit of this sacrament. In Luke 22:19, Jesus says that His body was given for you. Paul explains this a bit more in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, where he says, Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Lambs, goats, and bulls were given up in sacrifice in the Old Testament in order to seek God's favor, blessing, and reconciliation. Even so, Christ's body was given for you so that you could have God's favor, blessing, and reconciliation. Finally, the Lord's Supper carries over some of the original meaning of the first Passover to us today. In the first Passover, the Israelites were protected from the destroying angels that affected all the Egyptians, and the Israelites were made ready for their trip to the promised land of Palestine. So also, in the Lord's Supper, you are protected from the destroying angels of sin, death, hell, and Satan, and you are prepared for your trip to the promised land of heaven and the New Jerusalem. When you receive our Lord's Supper in future days, remember that in His Supper you celebrate the new covenant, the new priesthood, the new temple service, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, protection against the devil, and the promise of life everlasting. In Jesus' name, Amen.